We saw last time in our study here regarding Peter, the subject of these messages, the title of these messages, Follow Thou Me, the life of the Apostle Peter. We saw Brother Peter following up with Brother John over after the scattering that was there because of the persecution that was at hand. Philip, one of the deacons, appointed by the church and ordained by the church to take care of physical ministration and such as that, he goes on and preaches, goes north, heads north to the northwest of Jerusalem and preaches in Samaria. And just thinking about that, considering about that, the apostles, they had experience even in the ministry of the Lord Jesus going up to Samaria. Remember Sychar? Sychar's little town there to the southeast of Samaria, up north from Jerusalem, in that region of Samaria. Okay, so there is a city of Samaria. There is a region of Samaria. And so Philip goes there, and the church hears about those Jews that have been intermingled with the Gentiles. Okay, that's what's going on in Samaria, and that's a study in the scriptures all into itself, what the king of Assyria did there and where it left them. And they hear about these Samaritans. They're part Jew, part Gentile. And so what happens? The church sends Peter and John up there, and they go check it out. And you know what? Sure enough, they're saved. Sure enough, they're saved, and they have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and repented and believed in Christ. They received the preaching. It says there in chapter 8 that there was great joy in that city because of so great salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's this of Simon, the sorcerer, as we refer to him, that's there. And we see how Peter deals with him as we close out last time. And then there's some things that happen on in this time. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so this is a man that's probably a part Jew, a part Gentile. Okay. Well, wait a minute. Let me back up on that. He's most likely a descendant of Abraham. Okay. Not a descendant of Jacob. Okay. That's what I believe about it. But he's connected with Abraham very well from the standpoint of the other families, other family that Abraham had by other wives, okay? And that's a study for another time, too. And so he is saved, okay, at the preaching by Philip. And then Saul comes on the scene in chapter 9. We hear about him. We hear about his great zeal and ignorance and these things that he looks to do. We see about the Lord Jesus saving Saul and appearing unto him on the road to Damascus and how all those things transpired. And then Brother Ananias, being called by the Lord, said, go over there to Judas on Straight Street. And go see this fella. And I says, Lord, are you sure? He's a persecutor of those that believe like we do. And the Lord says, yes, I'm sure. I'm sure he's a chosen vessel unto me. I'm going to use him in a great way, and I'm going to use him. And so you go. And so our brother goes, and Saul preaches out of and from the Old Testament scriptures. He does nothing but rile up the Jews. This very one that was an enemy is now one of the children of God. He's a brother, and they have time. It takes time for them to wrangle with that. We come to verse 32 of chapter 9, verse number 32. We come to back to our brother Peter, and it says here. Listen to these words. I've read them for years, but I just hadn't seen them this way. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. Peter hit the road too, didn't he? And we know by Peter's writings, which his epistles, we'll see that he's going to be found all the way over at Babylon, all right, to the east. And he's going around preaching. And so this pattern of the deacons from the first church and the apostles of the first church, the scattering that is mentioned, we see here, there's great persecution in Acts 8, verse number 1, and the persecution causes them to scatter to Judea and Samaria, but the apostles are headquartered yet at Jerusalem. But from there they go out. And so we see Brother Peter pass throughout all quarters. He's going everywhere, okay? And he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. Now, understand in the scriptures, when it talks about going down, it doesn't mean like you and I would say we're going to go south, all right? Because Lydda is east, northeast, okay, of Jerusalem, okay? It's more east than it is north. But the reason it says that is that's the thinking of the Jews, is Zion is on the hill, and you go up and you go down from Jerusalem, okay? And so that's the context there. Listen to this. He came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. Verse 33, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and sick of the palsy. Okay, so he couldn't move. Okay, and so he goes down to see the saints. Okay, they went out from Jerusalem. They're scattered. They've gone out to this region, still in Judea. Okay, not in Samaria, still in Judea, to the north part of Judea there, and again, northeast of Jerusalem. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, rise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron, okay, or Sharon, okay, saw him and turned to the Lord. This region of Sharon, different areas, you know, in our community, our region, and you that grew up here and have been here longer and have grown up here, you know about these different regions. Lick Skillets down the road here, right? And over here, Olmsted, and you go down the road to Old Volney, where the little store used to be, right? And then you go up to Daysville. You got all these little Allensville. Of course, it was a bigger town like Olmsted was at one time. But out through here, I go in here to the southeast, I haven't learned all those different points. I know where some of those little stores are at, but you got all those different places. And maybe folks would say, oh, so-and-so is just such a nice place. There's a creek that runs through there, and there's those trees that so-and-so planted so many decades ago, or, you know, whatever it is. Those hills and how that farmer has those hay fields that are there, or when the wheat's up and how it looks. Different places that we have affection for. Sharon is that way in the scriptures. And so this region over here around Lydda, not quite to the Mediterranean yet, but there in that region, the apostle went there, and what did he do? He preached the same thing that he had been convicted of. Remember, he is a converted man, right? He's saved, but he's dedicated to the Lord in every way. And you know what? He goes there and preaches the same message, Christ. He preaches Jesus Christ, him crucified, buried, and risen again for the salvation of sinners. And you know what it says? It says here, and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. The Lord used our brother. He's there. He's going out. He's going, it says he's going all, okay? Quarters has been added by the King James translators to help us out with understanding. He's going everywhere. And when he went to Lydda to go over there and do what? Strengthen the brethren. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus told him to do? When thou art converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren. You reckon with the persecution and the strait that they're put in, and the scattering of those thousands of saints that were saved there in Jerusalem, and some of them as they went back home, some of them as they had to move out of Jerusalem and go on to other areas. Do you think Peter was beat down and quelled by that? No, he knew that that's what the Lord had promised. And so he went over there to Lydda, and he said, you all be strong. Remember the Lord. What he said come to pass. It has come to pass, and everything that he has said that hasn't come to pass will come to pass. He says, strengthen the brethren. That's what our brother's found doing. And you know what? He goes over there and he preaches the Lord Jesus. And he says, and they turn to the Lord too. Now, there was at Joppa, over here on the coast of the Mediterranean, okay, over here on the border of the country, the border of the land, a little town there on the Mediterranean Sea. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber as part of their preparation for burial, their honor to her, a part of what the Jews do in the preparation of one that has died. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Brother Peter, come on over here. Come on over here. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth. He says, back up. And now he's not making a spectacle here. But our brother's full of faith in our Lord. And the Lord has led him, and he's full of the Spirit of the Lord, and our Lord has led him indeed, that the Lord's going to do something here. And he put them forth. He says, back up. And kneeled down and prayed. Who did he pray? Who did he pray to? Did he pray to himself? Did he pray to some saints? He prayed to his Savior. He prayed to his Savior that he had saw ascend up to heaven, and that he knew of a surety is at the right hand of the Father, as the Lord Jesus had told him, that he had walked with these past 3 years and some change since that time that our Lord was resurrected. It's been some time now, maybe as much as a year or so, however long that it is. We don't know exactly. I don't know exactly. And he prayed unto our Lord, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now you remember when the disciples were given all kinds of power by the Lord Jesus, the apostles were given all kinds of power, and in that power, authority by the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of his ministry, weren't they? But remember that when we took a look, when there was such a great multitude at hand, and the Lord said, the apostles came to him, some of the apostles came to him. I want to say that maybe Philip was one of them, and he said, Lord, all these folks are going to be hungry. We need to feed them. And the Lord said, well, you give them something to eat. You remember that account in the Scripture? Preached about that some time ago here in the last probably year and a half. Said, you give them to eat. Speaking, the message that I preached about was the long-suffering of the Lord. The Lord had empowered them to where they could give them something to eat. But you know what they did? They turned to their, well, we only got 200 penny worth. We only got 200 pennies, about a year's worth of wages. If we could buy that much bread, it wouldn't even touch this multitude. And so then the Lord says, what have you got? And he shows them the power of the Lord. Now, Brother Peter, now, a man convicted and convinced and converted by our Lord. He's dedicated to the Lord. He has faith in the Lord completely and what the Lord has called him to do. He doesn't debate about the doctors that were called or were not called. He doesn't talk about, well, did they give her this or did they give her that? But he prays unto the Lord. And you know what? She raises from the dead. Oh, yeah, she's dead. She's dead. She's not comatose or swooned away, but she's dead. And by the power of the Lord, she is brought back to life. She sat up, verse 41, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. This putting forth, it may have been that he even put them out of the room, huh? Did he remember the example of his Savior when he went up to the little girl's, Jairus's daughter, and wouldn't let but Peter, James, and John go with him? You reckon he remembered that example of our Lord? Not a big spectacle, not a big fanfare, but faith in the Lord and his power to work. He presented her alive under the glory of God. It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And you know what's what Peter wanted? He desired that there be sinners there, that he knew that there were sinners there, and he desired that they repent and believe and receive the Lord too. Not that he be made famous. Remember even last time what he said to Simon. Simon the sorcerer said, "Give me this power. Let me pay you and give me this power that I can lay my hands on people and they can receive the Holy Spirit of God. I want that." And Peter says, "You've got no part of this. This is the calling of the Lord. This is not Peter at work. This is the Lord at work." And he knows that, and he's comfortable with that and convinced of that. And it came to pass, verse number 43, he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. And so he's there with our brother Simon the tanner there in Joppa. Chapter 10. And there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God, a record, a reminder. And now send to Joppa for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." So here we see a man that's a Gentile. And you know what? You know what he's doing? You know what he's doing? He's doing the best he can do. You know what he's doing? He's doing all he knows to do. You know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's being merciful to this man. Did Cornelius, let it be understood, did Cornelius seek out the Lord of his own device? No, Cornelius, a man not saved yet, has been around the people of God, his nation, and the Word of God, and even the day of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God has come to him. May we get that and understand that it's the Lord that put the Word together, and it's the Lord that brings the Word to sinners. That's what he does. And you know what? Sinners are engaged by the Word of God, and you know what they'll do? They'll not care. Or, you know what? They may get teeth gritting, angry and mad. How dare anybody tell me anything like that? They might get like that too, cut to the heart. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is that way. It gets inside of us. It'll cut us down and reveal our motive. And we who are saved were like that one day. But you know what? Then there's those that the Word of God comes to and said, "This is for real. This is my Creator speaking to me. This is alive. This is of most importance. Because the Word of God has come to them with power and conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. And they're shook up by the Lord and His Word. And that's what this man was. And he was doing all he knew to do. He was obeying all he knew to obey with what he had received at that point. And our Lord is merciful to him. Our Lord is merciful to him. Our Lord is going to take our brother and his household, and he's going to use him to convince the man that needs convincing. Right? That our Lord would save a Gentile? I tell you what, I believe the greatest doubter is on the scene. A man most zealous for his Lord and Savior, a man most zealous for his nation. And the word that has been received by them all the way from Moses, now Jesus being an answer to all those things, Judaism being done, the Lord knows who he's dealing with. And the Lord's going to take this man and bless him, and he's going to take this man, Peter, and he's going to show him what's right. And the angel said, he will tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake, verse 7, unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He told them the whole thing. Go get this Simon Peter. Go get him. The angel of the Lord has appeared unto me and said, go get him. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, middle of the day. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. A vision is what our Lord is giving our brother. Just like the visions that Brother Ezekiel has been given by our Lord that we've been studying about on Sunday afternoons. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. A great sheet. A great sheet. A great sheet like a tablecloth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts. So those domestic, all manner, it says, doesn't it? Four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts, those of the field. And then centipedes and snakes and lizards and creeping things, right? And fowls of the air, all the different kind of birds. Not just chickens, but all kinds, you reckon buzzards? I think everything was represented there, all manner. Doesn't say most, some, says all. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, he's holding to what he's been taught, hasn't he? And evidently on the sheet, lower down out of heaven, there's some things that are common and there are some things that are unclean. Given by the Lord unto the Jews that they're to stay away from in the law of Moses, and maybe even some other things beyond that, it could well be. But nevertheless, we know that restraint in the law of Moses is there. So all these things are there, even these things common or unclean, and the voice says, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord. Oh, as convinced, as converted as we may be, our Lord still brings us along, doesn't he? May the Lord help us to know and understand that we'll never arrive. I tell you what, we should want to arrive. And we should never use our lack of arrival as being an excuse. But we need to know the truth, the sober truth. But don't you want to arrive? Child of God, don't you want to arrive? Or do we get just comfortable being where we are? Do we ever get stagnant? Listen, stagnant is backwards. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. May we hear our Lord speaking to us. May we desire of our Lord to purge us and to cleanse us and to show us wonderful things out of His good word, how to follow Him in service. Do church services and your walk with the Lord get boring? I'm going to preach a message, Lord willing, here sometime about just that very thing, what the Scripture says about that. You know, if it gets boring, that's not your new man that's bored. If it gets old and stagnant, it's not the new man that's getting old and stagnant. It's the old man. And slap that fellow around and stuff him in the closet and go on and serve the Lord with joy and gladness. Amen. And ask the Lord to help with that, because sometimes we get that way. Not so, Lord. Peter's been here before, hadn't he? Telling the Lord something else other than what the Lord said to do. Not so, Lord, verse 14, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This is the Lord speaking, Peter. This is the Lord speaking. This is not your stomach. This is not your belly or your secret desire of your heart. This is the Lord speaking. And what the Lord says, puts before you and says, kill and eat. You kill and eat it. Peter's been here like this before, hadn't he? This was done three times. Three times. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. I don't know. I don't know how it was, but it says it was done three times. Sheet lowered down, all kinds of different manner of beast. Peter, kill and eat. I've never done that before. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, and understand, I believe it's telling us two things, okay? It's telling us two things. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, so he's thinking about it. He's meditating on it. He's chewing on it. Now, you and I won't have a vision, but we've got the Word of God that we need to chew on. May we do so. While he thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, verse 19, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. This is of me, Peter. This is of your Lord, Peter, for I have sent them. This is the Lord being merciful to a man in his household, isn't it? We've got to, you know, we don't know how all it was, what was going on in detail at Lydda. We don't know what all in detail was going on in Samaria. You know, we've got the overlying, you know, the broad story, the broad account of what's going on. But here we got some detail, don't we? Here we're given some detail. Get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they say, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. I want to deal with something. This is just a bonus here for a few minutes before we close. A title that could be put on this, which I'll not do, but a title that could be put on this is, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that it's true. Oh, now don't have a runaway. So I won't title it that, okay? But tell you what, remember when Brother Philip Thomas was here with us? And he preached that context is king. Context is king. I want to take a look here. There are those, and even of our brethren, that would go, and they would go to this verse 22. The centurion and two servants sent from Cornelius. And they would say, see there, it's written in the scriptures that Cornelius is a just man. Now, who do you think can discern who is just and who is not? Well, tell you what, it's only the Spirit of God, really, okay? This household, is this household saved? I don't believe Cornelius is saved. And I believe that this centurion and these servants that have been sent, Cornelius is. It's a reason that the preaching of Christ needs to be taken to them. I'll give you an advance. You know how the account goes, don't you? That's the reason they need to hear the gospel. And the Lord will work, and He will save. But see, just because this man said that Cornelius is just, you've got to understand who this man is. He's most likely a man not saved. How does he have any discernment? Now, do you think he honors Cornelius? Oh, he loves him. And he believes that he does very well. He enjoys being in his household. He enjoys, what's it say here? And they said, Cornelius the centurion. So this is, what's represented here is the three that are sent, okay? They say he's a good man. But it doesn't mean that he's saved. So let that be known. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We mention this verse often. And we talk about our brother. And he's given to us in the scriptures as an example. And that's what the Lord has done with Brother Lot. What do you mean, Brother Lot, Brother Jim? Yeah, Brother Lot. He's our brother. He's in glory with the Lord right now. After all he did, well, okay, let's read. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. Verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the judgments of God, into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, really? That's what this scripture says. That righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, when we go and we look to be scholarly and we take a look at that word just, you and I know that in English that can mean only. But when we take a look at it in the Greek, it doesn't mean only. It means justified by God. And who is it that's justified by God? Only those that are saved. Only those that He has saved. And then the following passage continues to tell us that He is a righteous man. Now, we wouldn't know Lot saved unless one that has the Holy Spirit of God and discernment, who's writing, context. The Apostle Peter. The Lord has shown the Apostle Peter that indeed Lot is saved. He's saved right now. Okay? Understand that? Not was saved, but he is saved. So here, we can believe this man, can't we? See that? All right, so now let's turn over here to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. In the day of our Lord's ministry, the Lord Jesus is here, and I think that they are in Jerusalem. I believe that they're in Jerusalem. In chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, and Jesus passed by, verse number 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither one of them has sinned, but this man was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Wow-wee. Do you and I want the works of God to be made manifest in us? Might hurt this old flesh, but you know what? It'll be really, really good. Anyway, that's a subject for another time. The man is healed by our Lord. And I wanted to go ahead and jump in this chapter. Let's go ahead and just fast forward. Boy, they grill this guy. He's got his vision, and he stands about who did it, and he even he rebukes the elders that are questioning him, and you know, boy, they rail on him and all that kind of thing. And in verse number 35, Jesus heard that they would cast him out, so they finally got tired of him. They just pitched him out, threatened him with his parents, all that kind of thing. Threatened to put his parents out of the synagogue if they said anything that was positive along the line of what had happened to him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, the man blind, that was blind, that he healed, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, was that man saved until this time? I don't think so. He had physically received the healing from the Lord, but the Lord scooted out of there in a hurry. And then this man, so overjoyed with what had gone on with him and all that, then got caught up in all this interrogation of the Pharisees and all that kind of thing, trying to run down the Lord Jesus. So up until this moment, it doesn't appear to me that this man's a saved man. But here he's saved, isn't he? Here he's saved. Okay? Now let's back up. In verse number 28, it says, And they, the leadership of the Jews, reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, speaking of Jesus, we know not from whence he is. We don't know where he came from. The man answered and said, Why, herein is a marvelous thing. This is what got him thrown out. That ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You mean, you guys have been telling us all my life that you know the way to God, you understand the scriptures, and you'd instruct us and direct us. You sit, he didn't say this, but the Lord Jesus told about it at another time. You sit in Moses' seat, you're the leadership amongst us, and this man has healed me from blindness, who was born blind, and you don't know anything about him? Really? That's what he's saying. For real? Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now that's written in the scriptures, because it came out of the mouth of this man. Does this man have the Spirit of God within him? He does not. He's been touched by the Lord. He's going to be saved by the Lord. Does the Lord not hear sinners? I think our brother on Sunday mornings has made it very clear the Lord hears everything. Now, sinners don't make deals with God, and nor they does any sinner ever leverage God. No. God's not to be leveraged. God's not to be handled, right? In the local vernacular. It's the Lord that handles men. And you know what? Sinners that are repentant, our Lord hears. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw nigh unto him. Brother mentioned the passage the other day in Corinthians that today, now is the accepted time to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear what the Lord says. Don't cook up your own salvation. That's what people are doing all over the world. Have been doing since antiquity, is cooking up their own salvation. The Lord says salvation is of the Lord, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's God's message, what the Lord Jesus Christ's message is, repent of your sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His completed gospel for the salvation of your soul. Salvation is of the Lord. So, a little bonus there regarding this, about these things. We always, just because the words are in the book, we must consider the context. Lord willing, next time we'll pick up here in chapter 9 and chapter 10, rather, and we'll see here what our Lord does. I tell you what, it's going to be great. You know what? Peter's not going to go away. Peter is not going to go away with his head hanging down, is he? You know what? Because Peter is convinced of the Lord. What did the Lord tell him? He says, "This is of me. I've sent them. Everything that's going on here, Peter, is of me. I'm doing this. I'm working in this. And you hear it and receive it."